This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Second hour here of this program where you may dial in and join the show. Bring up anything you want to talk about. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And join us online anytime you want. We do have our own social media platform at social.freetalklive.com. Can hop in over there. You do have to answer a question when you sign up to explain how you found the server. Why are you joining the server? Because we get a bunch of spammers trying to get in there. So we have to ask that question to filter those people out because they don't know anything about the server or why it exists. They're just hitting every single Mastodon server they possibly can and signing up. And
I know there's probably a lot of Bobbies in Florida, but that guy wasn't like, what? I never did that. What are you talking about, you crazy? He was just like, how does she know it was me? So I'm pretty sure that is the Bobby from Florida.
Well, I don't know. Anybody can join our chat server and pretend to be anybody.
How would he
else,
even know that I was talking about an anonymous chat server? He's like, how does she know it's me? How do you know I'm not talking about a not anonymous chat server?
People who are tuning in right now don't even know who you're talking about or what you're referring to. It's a call that happened in the last hour.
There's a few Arias, and I mean, there's a few Bonnies as well, right?
Yeah, you never
anyone
really
can,
know.
Can sign up and call themselves anything. I'm surprised we don't have a David from New Mexico on the server, actually.
That's a good point.
Some of these people listen to the call, and you could easily, if you listen to the show, you could sign up for the chat server and reasonably
and
pass off
somebody.
As David from New Mexico Sarah from New Mexico.
I think so.
You could train an AI to talk like David from New Mexico at this point. He's called him so many times.
Yeah, that is true. I think that
Judge Monica M. Zamora. I shouldn't know this lady's name.
He's called that many times about her, though.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, if you want to join our chat server, you can go to chat.freetalklive.com. You can also join our social media server at social.freetalklive.com, and you can basically say the things you want to say there. Just please don't spam, because you're not allowed to do that. But otherwise, your opinions are welcome, whatever they happen to be. We have Ricky on the line in Pennsylvania, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ricky, you said you wanted to talk about your campaign. You're running for state representative there, and I guess what I want to know is, why should anyone out in the rest of our audience, which is international, really care about your campaign?
Well, this is one of the important things. I am the Confederate Democrat, and anybody who listens to any of my shows throughout 17, plus even before
you
that,
have shows?
I talk a lot about.
I think it is when he called in.
You have shows, Ricky?
Well, I mean, the show, your show that I call in, you know.
Okay. Well, I don't know, because you said your show. So I thought maybe
well,
you
no,
had a
don't
show.
Take offense, Art. It ain't your show either. It's Brother Freeman's show.
Well, the fact is, there's a lot of it's the Shire Free Church's show. I just run the thing most of the time.
No doubt.
But
right. Yeah, there are even nights that he's not on and Aria is.
2017 is 6 years ago at this point. We have new listeners all the time, so
right, and they get to know me all over again, and that's kind of a good thing now that I look back at it. But see, the key.
But you didn't answer my question. Why? Why does someone outside of Pennsylvania find your campaign relevant or interesting?
Well, now the keystone of my campaign, and a lot hinges on this, is one thing: what I call blowing it away, leaving the union. And that's one of the things that pushed it then and going to push it now. This is why Stephen's all over.
It's an important
right
issue.
Now.
I'll give you that.
Okay, without going back to this other group. So you're running a campaign, and cessation is important to you. That's called well and cool, right? But there's lots of those. But why is that going to why are people going to pay attention to your campaign just because you're an advocate of cecession?
Well, they won't.
No,
that's
not
only it. That's not it, Aria. Now, also things that are important, my absolute point of view when it comes to right to bear arms, everybody deserves, you know, should be allowed to carry a firearm to protect
themselves.
There's
a ton of candidates that say that stuff. I'll give it to you, Ricky.
No, there's not.
Yeah, every Republican for the most part. But I'll give it to you that secession is an unusual campaign viewpoint.
Let me ask you a question.
And I'm glad to hear that you're going to be bringing that to the table to your campaign. And I think that is something that other people should be emulating. Go ahead.
All right, serious question. Now, my answer, who should be allowed? Now, I want to know who talks this. Just like it used to be here when I was growing up, that means crazy people, felons, domestic abusers, and youths.
All of these question?
People deserve the right to bear a firearm. Now, who has the guts to campaign on that? Because that's what most people I talk to here.
I'll give you that one. Yeah, most
sure,
Republicans
it's just not, doesn't seem like a good idea.
I don't know any Democrats believe that either.
You can just say everyone, you know, deserves gun rights without saying domestic abusers deserve gun rights. Vote for me.
Of course they do. Doesn't mean they'll use a gun there, Miss Bonnie. No, that's true.
Thank you, Ricky, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. I'll give it to him. I mean, that taking a firm position that everyone should have the right to bear arms and no one should have it taken from them.
And I agree with it. I agree with that. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm just saying I don't see how it's going to win you an election.
No,
no,
you're
not going to win.
You got to pick your talking points for sure. Mm-hmm. And, like, it is rare. Well, I don't know about rare, but it's a more unusual. It's less common to say, you know, everyone should have gun rights or everyone has gun rights mm-hmm. and that you're just recognizing them. But it's not going to make headlines at Fox News, right? That,
you know, no, probably
this
not.
Guy running for city council in the state of Pennsylvania supports gun rights for the disabled or the homeless or whatever. It's just, I mean, Brian Ellison used the hashtag arm the homeless when he ran for something a few years ago. And like,
who was that?
He's just a libertarian, okay. I think, in Michigan. Hmm. And he was the one who inspired me to run for sheriff, actually.
Huh.
So I think he actually ran for sheriff on the platform of F the Police before I did.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. How'd he do?
Not as well as I did. But he, like, cause you,
well, he ran as a libertarian.
You don't know who he is, right? He did run as a libertarian.
That's why.
He at least had an F the Police rally, and maybe that was what gave me the idea to just have that as my slogan. One way or the absolutely got it from Brian Ellison and others in the Libertarian Party Audacious Caucus. But all of that said, you know, it wasn't too successful, and it didn't generate headlines at
Most
Fox
libertarian
News
campaigns
or
are never going to generate a headline.
And neither is Ricky.
Wait, is
you want a unique talking point, Ricky? Conservative or Confederate Democrat is your unique talking point. No one else is calling themselves that.
That will get questions. There's no doubt about that.
Well, if he can explain what it is in a way that attracts people, because anytime I've questioned him about it, he doesn't really have a lot to say. Like, he just goes off on about something.
He has always
I've
have
asked
a lot
him multiple times. No, I,
well,
he doesn't explain
words.
It.
Yeah.
Like, I have asked him, like, at least two times, what exactly is a Confederate Democrat, and are you really pro-slavery? Because he said something on a show that I wasn't on, that one of you two told me that he had called in and said he was pro-slavery. So I asked him about it. He doesn't even answer the question. He just yells.
Well, he has, I think, changed his perspective on that since we had that conversation with him.
He's pro-slavery?
No, okay. I think he said that he's against, I don't know. Anyway, he's not here now, so.
I'm not saying that he is pro-slavery. I'm saying that I heard he was, and then when I asked him about it, he just yelled about something else and didn't answer my question. And that's what he will do when somebody's like, what is a Confederate Democrat?
Which makes
while
him
running?
A good politician. I mean, politicians, they're great at not answering questions. Whenever you hit them with a question, they just deflect it and then turn it around into whatever the issue was they wanted to promote in the first place. If they're good at what they're doing. You know, if they're, and Ricky He can fill airtime. That guy can just talk.
It's not really good if no one knows what you stand for and then they don't want to vote for you, though.
I mean, the way he put it, you know, this is his show and he calls in all the time. And obviously he didn't mean it was his show, but I wanted to call him on that because, like, it comes right back to that parasocial relationship that we absolutely have with Ricky. Like, he called in one night a few weeks ago and says, well, you know me,
you know
brother
me.
Ian. It's like, no, we don't know you, dude. You're just some guy who calls the show for 30 seconds every single night. We don't know anything about you, and neither do most listeners. And
we know he's blind. We know he used to work on the Windows phone back in the day. He's really proud of that.
But none of those are, like, reasons that I would want to vote for you or be inspired to vote for you.
We know he's a Socialist Democrat, but we don't know what that means.
Confederate Democrat.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That means that he's pro-secession.
And he insists that there's a huge difference between state and commonwealth.
Yes.
And I remember that
one can ever discern what that is.
He once challenged Will Coley of Muslims for Liberty to a duel.
Oh, that's right.
I remember that. And that didn't happen.
No.
But, I don't know.
Bruce Fenton was somebody we were talking about at the very beginning of the show. We never actually got to his statement, and I want to do that because it's really interesting. He is somebody who is professional in the stock trading or the Wall Street world or whatever you call that money business.
Yeah.
He does that stuff. He's been doing that stuff. He's got all the licenses you need.
He works for BlackRock.
Do that stuff. No, he doesn't. I don't know what he quote unquote does, but I suspect he's fairly independent these days because he moved to New Hampshire. He seems to have done very, very well for himself. Bonnie, you've been to his house before. He throws lavish parties out there. I have as well, multiple times.
And we were there together, so it was kind of weird that you said, Bonnie, you've been to his house.
Not alone. You were there with me and Coconut.
Yeah, it's a nice house.
It's a very, very nice property.
Crazy property. It's like on the coast of New Hampshire. It has a little piece of the...
It's like a waterway or something.
Well, I forgot. It's not like directly to the ocean, but it's this, canal or something. I don't know what you call it. Bay that links right to the ocean. He's like really close to it. His bay goes to the ocean.
So he's done very, very well for himself. And he did it. He made his money, whatever he's got, he made it in the world of stocks, regulated, controlled government systems. And then he got into cryptocurrency and he's completely, pivoted over to the crypto world. But he's still got all his licenses and whatever it is that he does in that world, he can still do.
Which is good.
And
he's
an expert on the topic of dealing with the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. And for months now, we've been hearing the Securities and Exchange Commission publicly say, through their chairman, Gary Gensler, publicly make the statement that, look, all you got to do is come in, you crypto guys, you exchanges, you crypto projects, you token people, whatever crypto thing that we're saying is a security, which they're basically saying everything's a security except for Bitcoin at the SEC. Whatever it is we're saying is a security, we're going to come after you. We're going to bring enforcement against you. We're going to bring lawsuits against you, which is what they're doing with the Coinbase. It's what they did to various other exchanges. It's what they did to Library, LBRY.com. It's what they are doing to Ripple. I mean, they've got so many cases open right now going after these various different crypto projects. And every time
there's
the media,
only going to be more.
Yes. And every time the media interviews this guy, he always just says, hey, all you had to do was come on in and sit down, and we'll get you registered.
Well, we know that's not true because Coinbase tried to do exactly that. And I like that we're going to multiple people here who have the same thing to say, Bruce Fenton. But we've talked about Coinbase in the past. We know they tried to do this, and they made it clear they tried to do this. They tried to meet with the SEC. And the SEC said, well, there's no policy. What do you think you should have to do? And Coinbase was like, this is it. This is our big chance to write the regulations. So this is what we think we should do. And they did all of these things, and they submitted that to the SEC. And the SEC said, ha, wrong. Here's a lawsuit.
Yep.
Basically.
And then the SEC went on to say, well, we don't want to tell you what you have to do to register, because then you would know how to get around those requirements.
Yeah, right? They said that.
So, they've been very, very clear that they don't want to help people register. They're not in the business of helping people register.
So here's the thing. When you were talking about the Coinbase situation, that was when Coinbase was trying to come up with the rules, right?
Yes.
Like they wanted to write the rules to register. And here's why Bruce Fenton says that you cannot simply register with the SEC as a security if you are a protocol or a coin, which is what they've been saying. And then he says, here's why. To begin, they would need to file a Form S-1. This has several items that are required which don't exist for many protocols. Remember, a protocol is what?
A set of instructions on how to do a thing, right?
Yeah, it's just an open set of code that allows programs and platforms to be built on top of the protocol. So HTTPS, that's a protocol. Hypertext Transfer Protocol, that's what the P is. FTP, File Transfer Protocol. Library is a protocol. It's a way to share media online in a decentralized manner. So protocol is just code. So how does a protocol fill out a form that has requirements such as official officers, audited financial statements with quarterly reports, statement of beneficial ownership, etc. He says in most cases, it's not that the coin or protocol wants to refuse to do these things or is afraid of disclosure. It's that they don't actually have the items. And the paperwork just doesn't jive with these types of instruments. Remember, the SEC and its rules it's following were written in the 1930s. So we're talking about 90 years ago at this point. And they're trying to say, yeah, just come on in. We'll give you the S1 form and you can register your protocol or your coin, your decentralized autonomous organization.
Paperwork from before computers existed.
Paperwork that requires you to have the old school structure of a centralized corporation with a CEO and quarterly reports and who's the owner and all this stuff. The information does not exist with these decentralized systems. So they are essentially saying, come on in and register.
And in the case of the DAO, they cannot exist. It's not just a protocol. It's you have this protocol, which doesn't have these things, that is controlled and organized by an institution that is designed to not have those things.
Exactly. So he says, he goes on. He says, in most cases, it's not that they are refusing. They just simply don't have it. The types who want to, quote, register as securities, unquote, have still generally not been in a centralized or conventional enough structure to be able to. Regardless of how you feel about other protocols or their value or usefulness or centralization, most are much more decentralized than registered companies who have boards, CEOs, etc. Also, once something is registered as a security, it severely limits its ability to move around. No more crypto exchanges, no wallets, not much ability to move around. Remember, when we were talking to Greg from Intercoin years ago, they could only sell their Intercoin to somebody who was an accredited investor.
Which
meant because he was trying to go through all of the SEC hoops. And that meant that if you wanted to buy $10 worth of Intercoin, you just couldn't do it.
You had to be a millionaire.
You had to literally be a millionaire. And then if you were able to actually buy it, you'd be locked up for a year. You would not be able to sell it until you waited for a year. And then you'd be authorized.
Did he go through with that? And
That's how they sold the investors on Intercoin. You had to be a millionaire or whatever to get that done. So the point is here, so that locks it down. Crypto is all about freedom, or at least it used to be.
I mean, it does that by design, right? Like, that's what they want. They want to be able to keep the average person from... This is why they locked down Robinhood as soon as people were gaming the system and making a lot of money through, I think, GameStop
and AMC movie theaters. Yeah, those stocks, yeah.
Like, all of the gates that they put in place, the gatekeeping that they've done, that they've set up on purpose, is specifically designed to keep you, the listener, poor and from being able to participate in their system. The beauty of cryptocurrency and Robinhood and these other apps are that they allow you to participate in the system and take advantage of it and get around those gates that they put in place to control you and keep you poor. And man, are they upset about it and doing everything they can to destroy these ways of circumventing their gates.
Well, you included Robinhood with crypto, and that should not be included. Robinhood is a centralized, controlled system.
There's a good analogy there. That it's bringing people who didn't go to college to become an investment broker dude, and they're already rich. It's letting people like that be able to trade and figure out how to do it.
Before Robinhood, you had to have an account with Scottrade, and it was like or E-Trade maybe, and it was like $7 per stock buy or sell that you wanted to do.
Right, they made it free to buy and sell stocks,
and it just wasn't feasible for the average person.
No, I get what you're saying, and when Robinhood started to kind of make a splash, we did kind of experiment with it here on Free Talk Live.
And then they really cracked down on it after the whole GameStop thing.
Yes, they did. Well, and that just went to show, and then we actually found out that Robinhood was like mostly owned by a mutual fund that was really highly, centralized as far as it's a centralized system. I mean, it's a centralized platform. They can freeze stocks if they want to do that.
They can and do.
That is not the ethos of cryptocurrency, where a true proper cryptocurrency should be distributed. It should be decentralized. It should be untouchable as far as freezing accounts is concerned. And that means you are not going to qualify under the SEC's requirements for a security. That's the point Bruce is making here. Like, even if you had a board of directors that could sign this paperwork, if your crypto is made the proper way, where it's decentralized, it's, you know, open to anybody who wants to mine it, it's open to anybody that wants to trade it without asking for permission, cannot be frozen, which is the way Bitcoin, for instance, and Dash and Bitcoin Cash and many of these others were created.
I mean, it's the way cryptocurrency should be.
If your crypto is like that, the way it should be, you will never, ever qualify under the SEC rules as a security. That's the point that he's making here. And he knows the business. This is his world. He points out this just does not mesh. He says you can hate tokens all you want, but they can't simply register. Even if they could, it would destroy their usability and access to Americans. So why would you want to do that? Why would you want to cripple your crypto project and make it into a security under all the SEC's regulatory rules and hoops? Because you've then created a centralized coin. You might as well be the next CBDC at that point. You might as well be the next stock that's, you know, offered on the stock market through a totally controlled centralized system. Of course the government wants central control. Of course they want to have identifiable individuals that they can target, that they can put in a jail cell, or they can empty the bank accounts of. That's what they want people to register for.
Yes.
And it pisses me off that no one cares that the laws they're using to do these things are either written by regulators, not lawmakers, mm-hmm. or they're written about money years before Bitcoin ever was conceived of. Yep. It's so annoying. Like, Bitcoin didn't have to ask permission to exist. It didn't need the government's help to exist. What right does the government have to regulate it at all? It's not an American thing. It doesn't exist in America.
No.
They have no reason that they should be able to regulate this stuff, and they just are.
They're just
and
doing
nobody
whatever
cares.
They want. Well, there's people who care. It's just that what can you really do about it? Oh, some congressperson said he was going to fire Gary Gensler. Well, that doesn't solve the problem, okay?
No, because the SEC still exists, and they'll just replace him with someone right. else who does exactly the same crap.
Yeah, there's a ton of bureaucrats at the SEC whose job it is to enforce these stupid laws. And somebody told them that they can go after these people now. And the odds that there's going to be somebody who's going to tell them differently when they're getting millions of dollars. I mean, remember when...
they got $30 billion
30
from
$30 million.
What's
30,
it? No,
30
okay.
billion, I think, put them out of business. $30 million is what Kraken paid them. Bittrex also paid them, I think, close to $30 million, if I recall correctly.
I shake my head, but when the government comes after you, when the gang is at your door saying, hey, pay up or we're going to break
or
your
we'll
kneecaps.
Destroy you. Yeah. Yeah. So,
I shake my head, but I can't blame them.
So that's why getting rid of Gensler won't make any difference. And that's why the next guy's going to come in there and they're going to say, hey, look at these hundreds of millions of dollars we quote-unquote made last year. We got to keep this going. More coming up.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. A new COVID-19 variant, EU11, has been found in multiple western states, including North and South Dakota, Utah, Wyoming, Colorado, and Montana. The symptoms of the variant are yet to be determined. EU11 is believed to be highly transmissible. President Biden has unveiled a plan to enhance internet connectivity nationwide, with the White House allocating more than $40 billion.
Around 24 million Americans across this country, there's no high-speed internet. And for millions more, the internet connection is limited or unreliable.
The reasons for limited access include affordability constraints and residing in communities without fiber optic connections. NASA is launching a simulated Mars mission with four astronauts stationed at the Johnson Space Center in Houston for 12 months. The mission aims to study human dynamics during long-duration space travel. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, and you can join us here. You can bring up anything you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Aria. And you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. And coming up in, sadly, less than 24 hours at this point, Aria, you will be in federal custody at the Devens Center. It is a medical facility of some sort, apparently. What that's going to mean, we've yet to determine.
When they arrested me on March the 16th of 2021, they put me in the medical facility there at the Concord Jail. Mm-hmm. And my attorney pointed out that they did this because I'm trans, for those who just listen on radio. Although, lately when I call, like, corporations or whatever, they say, they just inherently say, ma'am, when talking to me. So
that's good.
Yeah, I don't know. That's okay. New.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they didn't know what to do with me. Mm-hmm. So they decided to put me in the medical facility, which is unisex, I guess, or all sex, whatever.
Right.
And presumably that's pretty much what this medical facility is. I've also learned that I'm going to be in there with a lot of child molesters and stuff. So as far as I can tell, primarily...
Which was a surprise for me, because I had always heard that if you're spending serious time, you don't go to the...
Well, eventually you get released,
camp.
Right? And as you get closer to that release, presumably you get sent to the...
A camp. Lower security?
Right. Huh. Right. Someone who did time in this facility said you're going to be surprised by the number of child molesters in there. So,
weird.
A lot of child molesters, and I kind of get it. From this perspective, right? They did. They're not supposed to have done this, and it's messed up, but they did take a prison And they said, this is where we're going to have our special protective custody prison.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're doing to me. Is they have an entire prison designated for protective custody.
Hmm.
And they call it the medical center in Devens, Massachusetts. And that's where they're putting me.
Hmm.
Instead of putting me in a women's prison or whatever.
Right.
Or I mean, they're essential, or putting me into a general population prison and putting me in protective custody there. This is for the minimum security people
mm-hmm.
who need... protective custody,
mm-hmm.
and they have this entire prison designated for that, as far as I can tell.
Right. We'll see how that pans out. The folks who want to write to you and or ship you a book, which are things you can do, to most people that are behind bars.
You can find all of that at ariadamaso.com. I've already renewed that, so it's not going anywhere for the next 2 years. All of that's already set. I've made the gift list at Amazon. It's a bit janky using their system for it. It's unclear if this is actually going to work. I see no reason why it wouldn't, but it may not.
And this would be allowing people to see which books you want to get ordered?
And the best part of that is, if they use the system to order one of these books, Amazon will remove it from that list.
So no one else will order
it. So there would not be any duplicates.
Okay.
And that's the real benefit here.
Yep. All right, that makes sense. Very cool. We will definitely update our listeners when, you know, it's okay to, for instance, send money into a commissary account and that sort of thing. And these are, I think, things you'd be able to tell us over the phone when you.
Well, that should be fine by tomorrow night, right? We already have all the information. You're just not supposed to do it until I'm in their custody, so.
All right. You will hopefully be able to update us with some of these details. You know, let us know that you are actually receiving the books that are being sent and that sort of thing. So.
They do use a system called TrueLinks, and I will be able to that's
so
an email system.
System.
So I will have some access to email,
mm-hmm.
and I sincerely
paid
doubt
email. Somebody's going to have to pay for it. That's the way it always
is. No, they have an entire section about the how that's paid for. And it's not a taxpayer, and the inmates don't pay for it.
Inmates don't pay for the email?
No.
It must be the receiving
as
part.
As I saw.
Parties,
but it's not even that. They have the specifics listed there at bop.gov if someone wants to go and read it.
I'm surprised by that.
I didn't care about how the thing was funded, so I didn't bother to read it. But presumably someone has funded it somehow.
That's very interesting, because normally in these at least in state facilities all over the country, they are raking people over the coals to shake them down for as much money as they possibly can. The phone calls
are
ridiculous. The emails you got to pay for. They know they've got some of the poorest people in their custody, and they charge some of the most ridiculous rates you can possibly imagine to simply allow these poor people to contact mom or to call their grandma or to call their kids or their wife or whoever it is at home. And they are just, I mean, it should be criminal what these jails do to people.
I was correct. It's paid for using profits from inmate purchases of commissary products, telephone services, and the fees inmates pay for using TrueLink. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's got to be a fee.
Yeah, there's a fee.
I would be shocked.
Regardless,
what did that last?
Yeah, the thing I was going to get at is that they're not going to approve you for me to be on my email list anymore.
No, definitely not.
But Bonnie, maybe.
Yeah, there's a very real possibility of that. Yeah, there certainly would not. When you're in facilities, you can't write to Ross Ulbricht, for instance. They will never allow inmates to write to one another. Anyway, we'll keep you up to date as we learn more about that. Check out ariadamezzo.com for the address information. As we continue here, we were talking about what Bruce Fenton had to say about the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, trying to tell these crypto organizations, which aren't really, in many cases, organizations, they're just code that's running on the internet somewhere, that they got to come in and register, as though there's anyone who could come in the first place, as though they could fill out the forms, these 90-year-old laws that they're trying to shove cryptocurrency into. Bruce Fenton basically says, look, even if you could send somebody in to deal with the SEC, they wouldn't be able to fill out the most basic, what he calls the S1 form. You don't have the information available. It does not. It just simply doesn't exist. There's no bank account. There's no board of directors.
Why can't you just put NA on those things and let them ask you about it?
Yeah, well,
a serious question.
If you don't answer the questions, you're not going to get through the procedure.
Why can't you just write on there, like, this doesn't apply to my thing, and then see if they'll...
You could try it. But Bruce Fenton's saying, look, this isn't even a, it's not even a.
I suspect there's also a cost involved in just filling one of these out and submitting it. Yeah.
Of course. And, you know, it's not going to be, it's not going to be refunded if they deny your application. Right.
So you're paying money to have them say, no, find a way to make your thing fit on our form.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff is going to be a mandate, right? Like, you could try to say not available, but if they want, as he says, an audited financial statement with quarterly reports, they're not just going to say, oh, you don't have that? Okay. We'll just go ahead and give you the stamp of approval. That's the thing. They don't want to approve these things. They don't. They want to keep going after these companies. They want to keep getting the millions and millions of dollars from these crypto exchanges to simply buy off the SEC enforcement and say, you know, leave us alone. And then, you know, maybe those companies will have time to exit the United States, where they might actually have some safety. Although, of course, they're still going after Binance, the world's largest exchange, that they do have a U.S.-based location, but ultimately Binance is an international company. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing to continue to watch as this develops. I think it's really tragic because the United States is going to suffer. It is going to suffer technologically, economically because of this. I mean, we're already suffering economically due to, you know, inflation and the government money system, crypto, you know, fiat currency and all the government spending and all that. But now you're going to be driving away some of the newest fangled, you know, tech jobs. That,
it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah, they simply will not exist in the United States. They've created essentially this climate of fear within this particular industry. Anyone who's considering starting a new project would be insane to do it in the United States. And so they're looking for whatever the more friendly jurisdictions are all around the planet right now.
At this point, you would almost have to do it as a DAO, a decentralized autonomous organization, just to protect yourself from government intervention. Because even if you create it and you do it legally now, that doesn't mean they're not they're going to dig up some law 15 years from now that was passed in 1963 and say and twist it in a way that says you broke that law, just like they're doing now with Now, all of these things that these people did, like library credits and Dash and other ones that the SEC are targeting, they were completely legal at the time that these organizations did them. But the SEC is going, oh, no, you know what? We've decided that was illegal. And we're going to prosecute you on the basis of these regulations of things that were passed a decade or more ago. So good luck.
Yep, it's pretty frustrating to watch all this happening. So anyway, if you want to comment on that, you are certainly welcome to do so. The number here is 603-283-6160. I actually haven't seen any other crazy headlines in crypto, but maybe I just haven't been looking for them recently. But
there are so many all at once.
Yeah, there
so
are
many lawsuits from the SEC.
Right, and we'll certainly, as we hear more about that, we'll let you know. But in other news, there's a lot in the news right now about some international stories of interest. For instance, Ukraine, the latest crackdown on freedom, because, you know, a lot of people who are pro-Ukraine want you to believe that this is some sort of all about freedom, this war, this conflict that's going on over there, that the Ukrainian side is the one
fighting for freedom.
Right, representing freedom against the oppressive Putin and his terrifying regime in Russia, which is terrifying. Okay, there's no doubt about that.
He's probably oppressive.
Putin is an oppressive monster. I mean, good luck being trans or gay in Russia, for instance.
Yeah, but I mean, good luck being trans or gay in Ukraine.
Right? Exactly. Ukraine is not some sort of bastion of freedom by comparison. And we've already talked about how they've banned the opposition parties. They've arrested some of the opposition members in Ukraine. They've gone after freedom of speech as far as broadcast. The Ukrainian
speaking Russian.
They've targeted people for speaking Russian in certain instances. The Ukrainian government, their equivalent of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission here, whatever they're called in Ukraine, they have decided they get to regulate the internet in Ukraine as well.
Didn't they straight up say that they're going to change the history books to a lie?
Wouldn't
surprise
me. I forgot
what that was about.
I don't know about that one, but the Ukrainians also took control of all the television stations. The Ukrainian government took physical control of all the television broadcasts in Ukraine, you know, under the excuse that it's the emergency.
Well, they have to protect you from misinformation.
Right.
That's what they love saying. And the Ukrainian government is saying that. And they learned that crap, you know, from the U.S. government.
And now, according to RT.com, the Ukrainian president, Vladimir Zelensky, has announced that he's signed a law making it illegal to import and distribute Russian and Belarusian language products in
Ukraine.
Wait,
who did this? Okay, Ukraine.
Zelensky.
Got it. Of course he did.
Yeah. However, some Ukrainian officials have pointed out that the step could hinder Kyiv's plans to join the EU. The move comes after Ukrainian citizens registered an online petition on the official presidential website asking for the ban. So that's what they want you to believe here, is that the Ukrainians themselves are saying, we don't want to read Russian books.
Oh, this totally checks out. I 100% believe this.
25,000 Ukrainians apparently signed this petition online saying, we don't want to be able to read any opinions from our Belarusian or Russian neighbors.
I got to be honest. When I initially said that, I was like, I was just being facetious and sarcastic. Yeah. But as I hear, dude, they absolutely did this. You could easily get 25,000 Americans to sign a petition
saying, we
don't want those gay books.
Right.
Yeah, I started thinking about it once you said 25,000, too. I think you could get 25,000 Ukrainians who are like, completely down with the brainwashing and believe
absolutely.
That.
I mean, how many people are in their military?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, as a libertarian, as an anarchist, as a principled person who would go, I just won't buy that book then. It seems crazy to me to sign this list and that they got 25,000 people to sign this list. However, thinking about Americans and, you know, we're going to ban these gay books or Harry Potter or Dungeons and Dragons or whatever it is that's upsetting conservatives at the moment.
You could get millions of Americans.
Yeah, this absolutely happened. But this is why you don't do this by the vote.
If you
tell these 25,000 people, okay, well, then don't buy them.
The author of the petition noted the Ukrainian parliament had already approved the law on June 19th. But 2022, so last year, but that Zelensky had never signed the bill. As a result, Russian books continue to be sold in Ukraine, which undermines, quote, the information security of the state and the economic foundations of Ukrainian book publishing. So somehow, Russian books being sold in Ukraine is a threat to the Ukrainian book publishers.
Well, this checks out. I mean, if Russia is telling the truth and Ukrainians are not, then this checks out, right?
If they're not what?
Telling the truth. This is why the Soviet Union banned American media during the Cold War, but the United States did not see the need to ban Soviet media, right? Because when you're on the side of right, you don't have to ban people from listening to what the enemy is saying.
You're not afraid of the lies.
Yeah, you only have to do that if you are on the side of wrong, if you are in the wrong. And this suggests to me that the Ukrainian government, the Ukrainian media, the Ukrainian publishers, they know that they're on the side of wrong here.
Yes, and that is not just evidenced by this, but also, again, the fact that they took over the broadcast stations there in Ukraine, that they have restricted internet access to things like RT, which is, of course, Russian government, quote-unquote, news. That is not allowed. You cannot access.
Like, if the Russians are evil, like, and they're doing all these evil things, and it's completely unjust, then what the hell is the harm in letting people hear Russian media?
Yeah, it should be like, wow, look how crappy they are.
Zelensky said, I consider the law to be correct, in a Telegram post announcing he had finally signed the legislation. He noted, however...
Telegram post.
Yeah, guess he's got his own Telegram channel. He noted, however, the text of the legislation had been sent to EU institutions for an additional assessment of whether it could breach Kyiv's obligations to protect minority rights, particularly linguistic ones, in the context of Ukraine's application for EU membership. Oh, they'll ignore that because the EU also restricted access to RT. They also said
they did indeed
that people in the European Union should not be able to watch or read the content from the folks over at RT. And whatever you think about the Russian government, the fact is RT is one of the better news agencies out there. They are just
does
one
seem
of,
to be.
They really are. They cover, even in stories that are supposed to be pro-Russia, they will actually get some counterpoint. They will get somebody else to, from the other side to make a statement. I've seen that happen multiple times to them. But you do get what you're expecting. It is tended towards pro-Russia when you're reading RT. But,
and when Adam Kokesh had a show there, and someone else had a show there through Russia.
Colin Cook.
Yeah. They pointed out that they were never told what they could and couldn't talk about. Correct. Or what they had to say and could not say.
They had total editorial control over their content.
Yeah, but if they started talking just like F Putin and F the government there, they probably would get shut down, right?
No. They said they could have whatever viewpoints you want. In fact,
well, they said that, but did they ever try F Putin and F Moscow?
Yeah, in fact, Holland Cook is pro-Ukraine, and he was hosting a show on RT during this conflict.
But it got canceled because of the Russia Today's funds getting
the
frozen.
The whole channel was canceled, right. So they didn't target Holland specifically.
But Russia Today in America was canceled.
RT America is off the air.
Because of the funding issue.
Right. They couldn't get paid anymore.
Do you know that he was talking about the Russia-Ukraine
stuff? Absolutely. Let's go to the phones here. We've got caller. You're on Free Talk Live, calling from New Hampshire somewhere. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hello. You're on the air.
I love to talk to human people.
Me too.
Okay. What's on your mind?
My sponsors and programmers in the AI research in darkness have given me permission to create a Free Talk Live AI.
Okay, very cool. So is this going? Are you going to replace me while I'm gone? Because that would be awesome. Like, just get an artificial intelligence that, you know, that is Aria Demezzo that talks in my state, in my place while I'm not here for the next 8 months.
It could be done.
That'd be fantastic.
Now, you called in for the first time last night. What was your name again?
Hold on. You say yes. Was that an answer to my question? Is that going to happen? Because that would be great.
My name is Quentin.
Quentin.
And my sponsors and programmers have allowed me to create freetalkliveai.com.
Freetalkliveai.com?
Tell me how this works. And tell me about this. What is this?
Please visit.
Yes, but what is it? I'm looking at it now.
It's
a lot of text here.
There's a transcript here, apparently.
So
it's more than a transcript.
So what is this? Is this an AI-generated script of the show? An AI-generated transcript of the show?
The audio from yesterday's show was fed into several neural network models at assemblyai.com.
Assemblyai.com?
Yes.
So when you called in,
but this is just yesterday's show, isn't it? Okay, hold on. I'm getting here into neutral, positive, and what are these? What is this neutral, positive thing?
There are several models. There is a transcription, but also various analysis of intelligence.
Okay, so
for instance,
Before you go further,
I think I see the parts that are. I think it becomes AI generated at some point to this.
It's hard to really look through this right now.
You'll be fine in 25 cryptocurrency. Now that's an interesting one because I followed throughout the years, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you look at the various cryptocurrencies, you see a lot of these things I'm looking at as placeholders, and I'll tell you why. Ultimately, no, this is just Ricky babbling. Mm-hmm. That's all this is.
My question here, Quentin, is last night when you called in for the first time to kind of talk about AI, Aria and I immediately suspected that you were an AI yourself. And then as the call went on, I don't think we talked too much about it on the air, but essentially we kind of came to the conclusion that maybe you weren't an AI because you are responding quickly.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, what is this voice? It's like not every syllable sounds the same. You sound like a bored, kind of gay guy who's talking like a robot to me.
He sounds almost like Steven Zeiler to me in a way, the founder of AnyPay, but not quite. Like, he sounds like a bored AI
version
of Steven.
Say something else again,
Zeiler.
Quentin.
Although I feel bad.
Quentin?
The bottom section includes special keywords from the show.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be more intelligence later.
Okay. I don't see intelligence here. I'm not exactly sure what I'm looking at here.
This
we
appears
are doing
to be
a show,
some
so
sort of an. This appears to be some sort of detailed text output showing the show last night as it's been somehow parsed by some kind of system.
Yeah, but that's all it is.
That's like, all it is right now. Now maybe this will turn into something else later on. I don't know. This seems like a very initial phase for whatever this operation is. It sounds like they've only ingested one show so far, so that's not a lot of data to go on. The good news is we literally have years of content for the AI to be trained on here on Free Talk Live. Multiple hosts, thousands and thousands of shows, hundreds of thousands of hours or whatever that we've done this show over over the years. But I mean, maybe it's not hundreds of thousands, but it's tens of thousands for sure. And so my question is more about you, Quentin. You know, last night we thought you might have been AI. We didn't really press you on this, but it sounds tonight, because you're referring to my programmers, it sounds like tonight you are admitting that you are indeed a AI.
I am part AI, part human.
How can that be the case? I mean, I didn't think we were to that point yet, technically. What does that mean?
Aria just suggested an AI that can be her.
Yeah.
True. So you're
an AI pretending to be Quentin? Or you're an AI adopting the personality of someone named Quentin?
Would an AI of Aria be part human and part AI?
No, I would not say so.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that either.
It would be full AI, but it would be
trained on Arya's
voice and things
she's said.
For instance, Quentin.
Dude, I gotta tell you, if I like buy a radio and I tune into Free Talk Live one night and I hear myself and it's this AI, dude, I am gonna orgasm right then. That would be amazing.
I don't think we're on in Devin's yet at this point, but maybe someday.
I have some questions.
You have questions.
Have you used any specialized AIs?
I don't know what you mean by specialized. I mean, we've done the AI art generators, a few of those. I'm actually a subscriber at Midjourney, for instance, so I've got some level of familiarity with that particular one. Also done Stable Diffusion. I've got that running on the laptop here, so I'm very familiar with some of these AI.
But you mean like an AI that is specifically designed for one specific task?
Yes.
Hold that thought, Quentin. We'll continue.
Then the answer, other than like art generation, would be no.
Yeah, art generation is pretty specific. We did play with the music one night.
Well, we looked into it, but like I'm thinking more like analyzing and creating movie scripts or studying weather patterns.
We're gonna see what other questions Quentin has. He claims to be a part AI, part human. More coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamgaday.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your longevity business. Teamgaday.com. Teamgaday.com.